My father, Francis Herries, once dreamed a dream. He had been to the races in Doncaster and afterwards stayed at an inn.
I wasn't drunk, David. I remember so clearly how I left my companions, went to my room, flung open the window, sat on a little chair, and leaned out into a night flaming with stars. And I swear I didn't fall asleep either. Yet as I looked into the stars, I saw an empty region of glittering, icy mountains. So pure and lonely they seemed, and a mere that was as black as steel in shadow. Then a great white horse, more glorious than any horse that was ever seen, came to the mere and plunged in. He tossed his mane, and I could see silver drops flash in the freezing air. But when he reached the edge, I was seized with terror, because it seemed impossible that any horse could climb the icy sides of the cliff that ran sheer into the water. And I felt such a love for him, David, such a tenderness. But he surged upwards across the ice and vanished. And where he had been, there was such loneliness. What did it mean? That nobleness and purity that was not to be caught or held. Something apart.
Something apart, as my father was always a man apart. He became more so after his dream, because the disappointment and restlessness it brought never left him. He was 25 years old and it changed his life. 5 years later, it changed all our lives. For then, drawn by a wild romantic impulse, he uprooted his family from Doncaster and led us to another mountain fastness, a valley called Borrowdale, ringed by the Cumberland Fells, and a tumble-down ancestral house called Herries. I was 11 then, and the year was 1730, the year of our Lord and of the Devil.
Rogue Herries by Hugh Walpole. Dramatized in four parts by Eric Pringle. Part 1, Wilderness.
The journey was miserable. Roads full of mud and the weather growing colder the further we went. We had to abandon the coach at Kendal and continue on horseback. My father cursing. My mother, Margaret, terrified. Sister Deb crying. Sister Mary cross. Our governess, Alice Press, sulky and wanting my father to herself, and our servant, Benjamin, hankering after southern women. Only Father Rush was unperturbed, smiling to himself in that world of his own. It was a sorry cavalcade that clattered into a Keswick Inn, where we were to meet our grand relatives, Uncle Pomfret and Aunt Janice Herries. Father demanded private rooms.
Benjamin, see to the horses. Blaster, you can drink later. Margaret, you must rest. Alice, put the children to bed. They have time to sleep before my brother comes. Come along.
I lay half awake watching Alice Press warming her legs at the fire with her skirt gathered up to her knees. I hated her because she was a witch and made my mother unhappy. And because my father crept in looking like a king in his grand clothes and put his hands on her eyes.
I know these fingers.
You should.
Oh, what fine feathers to meet your brother.
I would shame him, Alice.
I wish I'd not come on this mad journey.
Does that make you more content?
No, a kiss is nothing unless you love me.
What do you mean by love?
I mean all the things I'm enduring for you. The bruises and your wife's idiocies and your children wailing and you in a dirty temper. And what do I get in return?
What is there to get? You chose to come. I told you you were heading for the end of the world. No roads, savages, a chill house with the rain always falling and only my body to comfort you. And that not very often.
It doesn't have to be like that. Take me away.
Alice, alone with me, you'd be in despair in a half hour. Come, wake the children, it's time.
But Francis...
Dress them for Granduncle Pomfret and superb Aunt Janice.
Wake up! Get up, you creatures! Hurry up! Don't keep them waiting or I'll be blamed. Mary, don't look so smug.
I'm going to show them my...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?